It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Worsham. Have fun, guys.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
This is the second funniest podcast. I am your host. Oh, episode number 324.
Four.
I apologize.
Four.
I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the TheKevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Likewise, KFC boy. I think we should revamp our opening, because when I tweet now, I say, listen to the second funniest podcast starring comedian Justin Worsham and the voice of Sly Cooper, Kevin Miller.
Uh-huh.
So let's see, how maybe you can make that our intro.
Okay. Yeah. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is the show hosted by comedian Justin Worsham.
That's you.
And the voice.
Oh, I like it. It's the same cadence.
Of Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
TheKevinMiller.com.
Oh, thank you.
Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
I need to come up with a comeback. I spent that whole time thinking of something to say back to jump and press the circle button. Hey,
there's nothing.
Pull the R trigger button.
Nope.
Buttocks. The trigger buttocks.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll pull the trigger buttocks.
R trigger buttocks.
Hey,
so we got to go through Sony today at E3 because these are back to back episodes.
Well, that didn't work. Oh, pull me up again. That would have been really cool.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
tell me when. Well, I had to turn you down because it was what's happening.
Robot rock. So it was supposed to be the Sony logo going boom.
Oh, are you ready now? You're locked and loaded.
No, I don't know what happened. I think my PSP just crashed.
Well, I guess you're going to have to get a Vita.
Good thing that's coming out.
You're living Sony La Vida Loca.
What?
That had to have been said by someone.
I don't... Oh, yeah, right? It was so funny because right after the E3 review... There's so much talking happening in this room right now. Right after the press conference for at E3... For Sony, they go to these Australian people and they're like, well, what do you guys think of it? And apparently the name had already leaked a little while ago, and some people thought that they were going to like change the name, or that was a fake name.
Yeah,
because apparently in Australia there's something called the Vita Crackers, which that's like a biscuit that they have in Australia.
Okay.
Spelled the same, V-I-T-A, like Vita Water. We have that now. So they're like, they thought for sure that they would change the name to something else, and they're like, no, I think it's Sony just sticking to their guns. No, it's the Vita. Shut up.
Shut up. Shut your face holes.
And one of the girls goes, for $249, they can call it whatever they want. And that's the PlayStation Vita.
It's been a while since I've had a handheld game console.
Really?
Is that cheap?
What was your last one?
The Game Boy.
That's a little...
Game Boy Advance, was it, that we used to have?
Yes.
Hey, guys, we're doing a show, please. We're doing a show, please. We're doing a show, please.
They're all hugging each other.
Let me explain to you my world.
Yeah, please. I love it when Justin explains his world.
A hormonally enraged pregnant woman that's about to crap out a kid. And
sounds painful.
Yeah, it's it creates a good mood
all the way around.
And so yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
So I think it's a little high. Like they're with owning the PSP. I've had it now for 2+ years, and that's old. I mean this platform's been around for a while now, and probably 7 years, I think. And it I don't buy games because I still don't think it's fair to buy a PSP UMD cartridge for $30. Like I think that's
is
a
that
little...
the memory stick?
No, that's the cartridges back when, because remember
you're right.
They
I'm
used
sorry, the
to
games,
be doing cartridges,
yeah. And they were doing remember the movies for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish that didn't fail. That would have been a cool thing.
I think
iPod killed it.
And I'm glad because it was very difficult to carry cartridges around with me wherever I wanted to go. I'm like I had this whole other satchel of discs as opposed to the iPod or anything else. I can just boot and there it is. I have the iPad.
Boot, there it is.
Come on now, boot, there it is. So
must be at least 20 years old to understand that reference.
Okay, here. Okay, so now we're gonna talk about. So are you ready? So,
yeah.
Almost.
I had it. It was there.
I don't know why I fail. We'll try it again. I'll just keep doing it repeatedly.
That's a great idea.
So yeah, E3 today, right? Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. That the press conference was yesterday for us. Oh, it would be yesterday for you as well if you're listening to this the day we release it. My wife is leaving.
Affection.
Bye, Catherine. See you at home. Are you taking the iPad? You can. Okay. She's so happy. She likes her iPad. Have a good time. Play that Carcassonne.
It is weird.
It is the church's iPad. That's true. We need to get one. We'll get the iPad too.
Whoa, what happened? What happened? Are we playing something? Did we play something?
Yeah,
we just played Gods
of
War? God of
War. Yeah, I'm just going to sit here and play it. The show needs to just get started here. Okay, did you know?
I need a new chair because I just tinkled. Tinkled a little
did
bit.
You know that Netflix is used on PS3 more than
I
any
do
other
know
device?
That because I listened to episode 323 of the Second Funniest Podcast.
If you have Stitcher, you need to dial back and get our last episode because
yeah, right.
We released them both at the same time.
Yeah, so, our bad on that. Thank yeah. you for that reminder.
There you go. Okay, here it comes. Here comes the Sony. Okay, ready?
That wasn't the
That's all I wanted.
Okay. You are welcome.
There you go. Yeah, so first thing right out of the box for the Sony press conference, they talked about some Uncharted for the new Uncharted 3, which is coming out pretty soon. And it looks pretty fantastic. Have you, Justin, seen any of the gameplay for Uncharted 3?
No, I'm treating it like a love, like a true love, a girl you would take home to mother. I don't want any kind of tease. I want to wait till our marriage night.
Well, let me tell you, they've got your new wife is going to be filled with water sequences.
I'm sorry, what?
Because the opening sequences of a ship being sunk and you're in it.
What's being sunk?
The ship.
Okay, good.
What'd you think I said?
Poop.
Yeah, it looks pretty great. I, as I've said before, I need to finish up some Red Dead, play some Infamous 2, and then I'm going to bang out the Uncharted series.
Yeah.
Just 1, 2, 3. I'm just going to sit at home and play. How long do you think that would take for me?
I don't know. You like to do a lot.
Yeah, I go back and forth.
You
like,
and I can't talk about this stuff.
Well, because on Red Dead... Jiminy Christmas.
Worth that soundbite.
I wanted to...
Could have found it on YouTube.
I couldn't.
You tried.
With Red Dead, I wanted to play through and get like everything. And it just got to the point where I was like, you know, I just don't care.
There are so many other games, Red Dead.
Exactly.
Like, you're breaking up with it?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I'm like, Infamous comes out Tuesday. Yeah. I need to move along here. Let's
Remember
move
when
it.
We weren't adults and we could just do that? It was funny how when we did the gaming Saturday where we all played, like it was like I was expecting it to be a 10-hour venture,
mm-hmm.
and then there was kind of a moment where I kind not that I wasn't having fun, I was having a great time, but I kind of hit a wall.
Yeah,
and then you were like, "All right, I gotta go," and I'm like, "Wait, oh, this is ending?" Like I was like, "Oh," and then I'm like. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
like,
that's
all right. That's
what happened at the bachelor party, remember? But whenever we hit that wall, we changed games.
Yeah.
And there was talk of changing games, but not everybody had another
Nobody
game
had
to
Red
over.
Dead Redemption.
Yeah,
so
to
was
move
like...
over to. Because I had another 2 hours in me of a different game.
Oh, you didn't want to keep playing
But
this.
I just, you know, there's only so much hiding in, around these rocks and
point.
Throwing things that I can do. You need to shake
See, I wanted
it
to get into, I was talking to, I can't remember who it is. I'm so horrible with names, guys. I apologize. But
Guy.
I was talking to somebody on the PSN that they were asking if I was going to get the new Formula One game. Because that was what I was going to throw out there. Go, hey, does anybody by any chance have the F1 2010?
Yeah.
Because I would love to race. I don't have any cool setups, so you're probably going to be faster than me. But I'd love to learn. Like, that's what I need to start doing. Instead of just playing in the career mode, start playing online and learn how to tweak the setup to get it going faster and do that. But I don't know. That's a babble moment.
No, I love it. You know, because that's the thing is, like, on top of all these other games, I still play Guild Wars and I still play StarCraft and I want to play all these other console games. Oh, and I have a life in the real world.
Yeah.
So I try to treat my gaming.
Priorities,
I used to,
Kevin. Realign your priorities.
Exactly. Gaming on top. Gaming Jesus wife.
Well, honestly, you've fallen behind on your gaming.
It's,
so
no,
you need to make that a bigger cup to hold more.
That's the thing is like I found because I used to only play one game. If you remember, that was how I worked.
That's what I did.
That's all I played, and that was Guild Wars for 3 years. And now I've learned like if I break it up, even if I'm going to play games for say 4 hours on a Saturday, I get magically four whole hours. I'll play a bunch of different games instead of playing the same one unless something really cool is happening. I'll go play StarCraft for an hour, and then I'll go play Guild Wars for an hour. Then I'll go sit out on the couch and play Red Dead for an hour. And it makes it's like you don't watch, unless you got a DVD package, you don't watch Lost from beginning to end. Oh, wait, it was better that way. Just proving my points left and right. I also wanted to say I work in Hollywood at Church in Hollywood, and our parking lot is shared with a Greyhound bus station and also with a nightclub that is frequently used for film shoots and also for special events. So it's funny. Sometimes I'll be going home from work at 5 o'clock, and there will be these women that are dressed like it's midnight on Friday night in like tight black skirts, and they're going to some event. So they have they're clearly doing something for E3 tonight, which most of Los Angeles is because the entire nation is swarmed here in L.A. for E3. And they have this giant billboard outside right now that has all these different logos for like Intel and some other different peripherals and ATI and some things. And it says, and in the middle of the, on top of all of their logos, all in green, it just says, celebrating that other platform. And I was like, that's pretty funny. It's the PC.
Oh,
because E3 is all about PC. And it, like, we barely, like, unless you go to the individual developers' booths, you never hear about PC
there's
genres.
There's a Sony show, press conference, there's an press conference.
And then some of the developers, some of the, like, EA and Ubisoft, some of the big names will have their own press conferences, but they don't have their own wing of the thing. And there's no, like, PC wing. You can't really do that because there's no one
console. Does Mac even show up?
I wondered that. I don't think Apple even comes to these things.
Because gaming isn't their thing.
And yet they make a ton of money on apps. Yeah. So I hope to go and I hope
but that's
to see
where, like, they don't need an E3. Their money comes from user-created material.
And they'd rather go to their own, hold their own press conferences and do their own thing, release their hardware on their own terms, not be focused on E3.
They have their own black mock turtle next door.
Exactly. That'd be snotty Southern California. Southern Bay Area sufficient. Sirens.
Good one.
Oh, this guy's apples are dicks. Can that be a drop? I own.
Like it isn't already.
So I thought that was pretty funny that the other platform, it actually took me a minute, like, what's the other platform?
There's a new platform.
What? Yeah, exactly. Oh, is that crappy Wii
Sega's
U thing?
Back!
That'd be awesome that they're sweeping over Sega's loss of a console.
I just got a little bit of a nerd heart tremor in that I was sitting, like, how funny would it be where it's like, there's going to be a new console. There's going to be a new console.
Yeah.
It's an E3. Right?
Yeah.
And then they do like the 2001 Space Odyssey. And there's just this silhouetted, like, obelisk, like, rectangular thing. And then it just all of a sudden gets, Dreamcast. Imagine how many people would probably lose their minds.
Yeah. Gamers are loyal.
Then it just cuts right into Sonic running through loops and the Seaman, like, swimming.
Like,
but
original
passionately.
Dream. So not like a new updated Dreamcast, because people would be all over themselves as Sega released
all
the new thing.
All new content the Dreamcast. Like, that's look at what fun. You could do with us. We're talking in a microphone still.
Yeah. The future is 2001. It's awesome. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to develop a video game console so badly. Like, I have sketches of one. It was called the Hacklet system. And then there was the Hover, which was a portable Hacklet system. I don't know what Hacklet meant. It did not mean hacker, because I didn't know what that meant.
You did a Wii thing where you just made up a word.
Exactly. I'm like, the Hover was cool. And there was like a book that you opened up and you could play like adventure stories and RPGs in your book. It was essentially an iPad. And now as an adult, I'm like, man, I get why people build consoles, but that's not where I would want it. Like, if I could do anything, I'd build a theme park, right? Because that sounds amazing, and it's a dream I can never acquire. I have no desire to build a piece of hardware.
Like, that's obsolete in 5 years.
Exactly. Like, it's running the party. I have so much respect or pity on console makers, because they're where the money's at. If you do it right, you get the hardware that everybody wants. You have to buy this. But it's a big risk, and you're the one throwing the party. So it's like, you got to clean up the mess. Everything has to be working. You're the host for everything.
You have to create a place where the developers want to come. Like, you have to be like, hey, come over here. It's pretty cool.
It's a lot of pressure. I'm amazed that our market, you know, after, especially in the early days of console gaming, where there was like 30 consoles out at the same time, each with their own library of games. Now with the market can bear 3 consoles plus that other platform.
Yeah.
and that seemed, and then
which I'm
whatever,
sure is doing just fine.
And then whatever the hell Apple comes out. So I guess you could argue that there's about 5 different ways that you could play games, plus all the portable stuff. So actually, I don't know what our platform. There's like 7 then if you add the...
Well, you're right in that it's the same as like the networks. It's the same as television in that there are the 3 majors and other ancillary cable networks, you know, tiers. It's always tiers.
And that's where I think we see with like Sony and...
Because even what I was going to say is even the portables are from the 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Xbox, Microsoft doesn't have a
portable.
They are,
but they're not cross-play. Like, they have their own library of games, with the exception of some games for the new PS Vita that can move between the two. Most of the time, it's like, you want this? It's a new game. You want Mod Nation Racer? Well, whatever you got for the PS3 or for PSP 1 does not work. You have to buy a whole new version. You want Little Big Planet? You got to buy a whole new version. Little Big Planet. Well, let's get into it. So that's the issue, and I'm surprised that they're can be so many different consoles out there. Now that I kind of listed, there's probably about if you sit down and do the math, there's probably about 10 different areas. Because even within like the iPhone and the iPad, same game, but unless they're a high definition of app, you may have to pay more for the high definition version of it. Not always, but you know, and whatever's going to come next, the iPad.
I'm not trying to bag on them, but I do think that it's also unfair to them. But I think that it's unfair to lump the iPad and the iPhone apps and the Droid Market apps in with
games.
Another
one.
You know what I mean?
But they don't because
they're,
I said,
really what they are is, I mean, to put it into your perspective, they're mobile games. Like,
yeah,
that's their.
That's
area
true. That's a different thing. And that's why, like, the PSP and whatever and the new Vita, what it's going to do, it will kind of break that. I think it definitely is a line in the sand of, like, no, these are games, those are mobile apps.
Yeah.
And there is a difference. But I think that the PSP is at a disadvantage. Like, my iPod goes with me everywhere because I can use it to
do
other things.
That was the reason why I never got it.
Yeah.
Because unless you're traveling or unless you're in the car a lot or on a train, there isn't a lot that you need to do with it. And it doesn't do enough to where it could warrant. Like, I used to have a PDA and a phone, and then when they put them together, I got rid of my PDA.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need it. And that's the thing. And the games on the PSP, that would be the other thing, because I was playing Chrono Trigger on my phone for a little while. And that would be the game and what I do in the evening. But there's something about staring at a small screen that if I'm at home, I'd rather use my big screen TV. So the portable market, I don't know, but we got to talk about the Vita.
I think it's similar to what this is going to be. This is still connected, but there's the story of when I used to be a tech at an AV, AV tech at a hotel, and
back
it
in
was
the day.
Interesting that I think it was Dreyer's ice cream,
delicious. Let's get some.
Was talking. It was their meeting or whatever, and their CEO type person was there, and he was saying, what are our competitors doing? Here's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then he talked about Nestle developing more what they call novelties, which are like an ice cream sandwich is considered a novelty, or a Twix, like a Snickers.
It's interesting.
Ice cream bar is considered an ice cream novelty.
Yeah.
And like he dismissed it. He goes, here's what they're rolling out. These are the new flavors we're rolling out. And he rattled them off. And I sat there in the back of the room and salivated like a fat kid who wants cake or whatever that rap lyric is. And then he said, this is what Nestle's doing. And he goes, but if you notice, they're all novelties and nobody makes money on novelties.
Huh.
Like, he just dismissed it like it was nothing.
Wow.
And I go, whoa, that's an interesting insight into their industry. And I do kind of think that portable game systems are a little bit like novelty ice creams in that I don't think that there's, like, you're not going to revolutionize a market. Now, Nintendo is doing a great job of it, but they're kind of like going, this is our thing.
You know what I mean?
We have games that work with this genre.
And
this
they have a platform that is a brand new piece of technology we have never seen before, which is the 3DS.
Yeah.
So yeah, I see your point. That's
and even with their new controller, I think is an interesting mix between the DS and what they could do with a Wii.
So if you're Apple and you're making ice cream novelties, to them it's like, well, we built a place, we don't have to do anything. We're not developing.
That's what the great part about Apple's
business market is. Yeah,
is that they just go, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you all the tools to make for our products, and then we don't have to make anything.
We don't have to do a thing. You're going to give us a cut just to be a part of this.
All we have to do is create a product that everybody wants. If we could dominate the cell phone world and the tablet PC world, then you're going to create the content that's going to keep people wanting to do what we do. Like, everything we do is great. You're just the icing on the cake. And because if they literally have millions upon millions of people using it, and a percentage of those people have the interest and the drive to create. I mean, look at this podcast.
Yeah.
Essentially, podcasts come from iPods, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is Apple saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open it up to the people because that's the idea of the internet. That's YouTube. That's everything. Let people provide content. Now, I have a lifetime subscription to Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yeah.
I got because I'm a big fan of Howard Stern. I listen to nothing but podcasts.
Yeah.
I don't listen to, and some music on my iPod, but terrestrial radio is an annoyance to me now. And that's all because of them opening it up, saying, you provide the content. Mm. You guys go for it. Do whatever you want to do. It doesn't cost me a dime.
Yep.
And if you are going to charge, I'm going to take a slice too.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. That's a good point. Well, I guess we don't need to work for Apple. And that's funny because they're the console provide, like, talk about people that are running the party. They've got a party that everybody wants to be a part of. And for gamers, it's not a great part. There's no skate ramp in the back, but there's a pretty good chocolate fountain.
Yeah.
There's some ice cream novelties like this in the party. Fridge. No skate ramp, chocolate fountain. I'm there.
Yeah, all right. I wish all that day. Was my wedding reception.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't give you a bachelor party. Okay, so Uncharted looks pretty great. Resistance 3 is coming out, and that looks pretty freaking fantastic.
I tried playing those, and I couldn't really get into the first one, but I think it's because it's just weird. You know how if you go back and try and play the first game, the graphics still aren't up to date with what you're seeing now?
Yeah.
It's unfair to the game, you know what I mean?
And that's they're re-releasing the God of War series for the PS3 right now for some silly reason. It's like probably the same thing.
Really? They already did a collection.
They're doing the PSP versions for the PS3.
Oh, okay.
And I'll explain why right now.
Oh.
Their big thing this year, in addition to the PSP, the Vita, is 3D. Like they kept saying, we know that consumers will drive 3D, so we are working to make it something that you want, and we're doing that by lowering the price. So they have a bundled 3D television with goggles that comes with Resistance 3, a 6-foot-long cable, and some other gear for $500, a 3D TV for $500 with a couple other bundled things.
Wow.
It's 27 inches. So not as big as your bad boy here.
Right, but it could work in a small room, a dorm. It could be a computer screen, too.
It's exactly what they said. Now, the thing that blew me away, I get chills just thinking about it, is that thanks to the fact that it's 3D technology, I can't even say it. It's so fantastic. You and I could be playing, wearing these 3D goggles, looking at the same screen, and see two different images.
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. So instead of having split screen, I put on my goggles and see one image. You put on your goggles and see a different image. So you're using the same screen.
Hold on. I can't even wrap my mind around that.
I stared at the image for so they made it. They couldn't have made the image
so
more
obvious.
So
I could play one game. Essentially what it's doing is it's using the goggles to project a split screen.
Exactly.
But I know how 3D works, the new 3D, not the color-based, but the perspective-based.
The, real 3D,
based,
the ones that require an RF
it's
thing.
But it's a perspective on the lens, and that what it does is it takes, there's an angle that third dimension is being projected on, and that the glasses also let that one come in at a different focal point at your eyes, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So essentially, unless I'm misunderstanding it, that the way that the goggles would work is that, so say it has four different angles.
Yeah.
And so it gives me A and C and you B and D.
Exactly.
So that you could see your screen and I could see my screen on the same screen.
It's the same technology when you go to the movie theaters, you know, that little square right above the bridge of your nose on the goggles there. And if you cover that, that's the RF receptor receiving information from the 3D RF distributor. I don't know what it is. And so if you cover that up, the 3D images go away because it can no longer tell you what to put in front of what. So I think it's the same sort of technology being used here, except for instead of, I think the images stop being in 3D when you and I play on a split screen at the same time.
Wow.
But I'm not sure, they might still continue to be 3D. But for $500, I was like, well, that could be our second TV, and it's in 3D, which would be pretty great.
That's
and make
awesome.
A lot of these games
And
very
because it's
accessible.
Sony, you can watch movies in 3D.
Do all your 3D movies, and then a lot of new games are coming out in 3D. And that's the God of War is being, the PSP titles are being re-released in 3D for the
PSP. Doesn't seem like that idea of being able to look at a split screen, but, and I know we've touched on a little bit, I really don't think it's that cool to play a game in 3D yet.
I don't get it either, but they seem pretty stoked, and I'll be willing to try it.
But like, here's the thing. I don't know. The listeners will start chiming in on the Facebook page and tell us what they think. But I think that it's because it's what movies are doing, and you know what I mean? And so it's like that seems to be the new thing, which is so interesting to me that something that was cool in the, you know, the 70s or whatever is now, because it's done a different way, is like all of a 60s, sudden it's like we have to do all of this. Now, like, hey, remember 3D?
Yeah. You know, I've talked to my buddy Dennis Cornegay and asked him why is it that people are crazy for 3D? Like, is the market, do consumers really like 3D, or is it the industry that's like, dude, come on.
It's a new buzz.
It's in 3D.
I
don't
think
you
it's
understand?
A new buzz, a new gimmick.
I imagine.
What did he say?
He works in 3D, so I think he
said it's great. That's, yeah, it's revolutionary.
He wanted it. Like, he's making a lot of money right now on the words 3D, so he definitely wants people to buy off on it. I'm not sold. I'm still not watching movies in it.
I'm not a fan.
Occasionally, they're like the right movie in 3D. I'll be into.
Tron was good. I enjoyed Tron. What else did I see in 3D? Avatar. I saw in 3D.
That was the only good part of Avatar was the 3D aspect of it.
Hurtful.
Seriously, it was a terrible movie.
Best picture.
No, worst. Worst of best. Other great games for the PS Move are Medieval Moves, which looks pretty fantastic. You use your PS Move controller and you kill dragons and monsters and goblins and that kind of thing.
A lot more party games.
There is. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate party games.
I do because I have a kid.
Oh, well, Party Up 2 and Start the Party 2 is coming out.
Oh, there's a new one.
Yeah, new one coming out. So you'll be stoked to play all those with.
I hope they fix, like, this. Yeah, we've talked about it enough.
What's that?
Well, just that the game is horrible in that it's like there's all these cool games. Like, it's a bunch of mini games.
Yeah.
Like any party game. But what they did was they said, okay, we have 16 party games that you can play and that we choose randomly through the course of a game.
Yeah.
We're going to give you access to 12 of them to just play whenever you want.
Right.
Hey, a-holes, why not just throw in the extra four?
Yeah, I don't
understand.
How
about that?
I don't understand why that.
There is no logical reason why you cannot let anybody play any
mini-game. I actually think
game.
Because the other ones are so tiny that they are not interesting on their own. What I don't like
about... No, it's wrong. It's the exact opposite.
I believe you.
They're the most interesting.
Well, they have the, like, catch the pizza thing is pretty great on Start the Party.
And it's like 5 seconds on it. And I think it's what they missed is that they thought, hey, what we're doing is we're making a cool party game for adults that any, like a Wii. And it's like, no, what you did was you made a game that a family of, like if a dad or a mom or both are gamers, they could play with a toddler or a young kid and everybody has fun.
And the other thing that I think that I know that the game missed is any sort of context for all that stuff. Like, what was so great and brilliant about Mario Party was the board game aspect of the game. And that is what is absolute missing from Start the Party. It almost makes it a non-game. Because it's just mini game. Like, who cares? Without the,
I'm so glad I bought it used because if I would have paid $60 for that, I would have been incredibly angry.
Well, you'll love Medieval Moves, or at least Jacob when he's about 8 will, I'll love it next week when it comes out. Infamous 2, they released and they were like, it's out now, and then they kind of brushed on and kept moving. Yeah, we know.
See, I don't want to play games like that with a move. Have you tried any of that?
Not that. I don't think Infamous 2 does have some stuff for the move coming out later this year, but
because
right now,
Sly Collection I could play on the move, and I'm like, I'm not interested.
No, Sly Collection only has like 4 mini games that Senzura came up with that you do on the side. You can't play the
games. Because I saw on the move, like on the cover of
it. That's what I thought. I'm like, if I could play Sly on the move, that'd be incredible, but you can't. Only Heroes on the Move works, and only part of that does.
Wave your hand and press the circle button.
So then they talked about Little Big Planet being move compatible, and they've got some cool things that are, so, you know, that's the brilliant thing about the Little Big Planet 2 franchises that allows you to create your own games. So now they're adding move connectivity.
Somebody posted a really cool game that was built.
The first-person shooter?
Yeah,
based
that was built in the Little Big Planet engine.
I love what someone else said. This is what happens when the PSN goes down for a month. Yeah. People come up with that kind of stuff because you have nothing better to do. Yeah. You're like, I'll just make this better. And then they rolled into some franchise that's been around since 2002 that's family-oriented, and the guy said that not a day goes by that somebody doesn't write a letter to me saying when will be another game come out on
this
title.
This?
Sly 4. So then they released something called Dust. I love that we just let that move on. We'll talk more about Sly 4.
I wanted a really bad decision. Never heard of it. But I was like, nope, it's going to ruin it.
We'll talk more about Sly 4 in a moment here. We're going to have some big guest callers. Dust. Have you heard of Dust at all?
No.
I've
heard of Dirt, which is the bigger version of that game.
But I got to hurry, don't I? We have like 2 seconds here.
How much time do you need?
I just want to tell. I remember Dust being really good. Dust game, and like I watched it and then was like, oh my gosh, I need to get this, and I think you'll really like it too. So it's this sort of bizarro.
Do I need audio from you?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what it is. The following is entirely made in game. It's only 19 seconds long, so let's see.
You're
in game footage.
My people possessed the knowledge to survive and
flourish. Great voice.
In the face of nature's relentless aggressions.
You should see these graphics.
We had evolved our mastery of the elemental forces and passed this sacred knowledge down through generations so that our children and our children's children would know how to canalize and contain the forces of the natural world.
Oh, that's right. This is all move stuff.
But those mighty ancestral powers are long gone. That's... And today, my people live on the verge of extinction.
Gosh,
it falls to me to guide them.
This is not the same
Together
game I thought
we must
of, but
reclaim
this great.
Our powerful heritage. Safeguard this primordial knowledge for all and forever. Or watch as our whole world crumbles into dust.
Working title.
Okay.
That's not the same game, but okay. That looks great.
I want to chime in on this for anybody who goes to look at it. It's from dustgame.com that you can see that trailer. Now, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, that looks
But when
great.
You say that's for the PlayStation Move and it's all built in gameplay.
No, it was a different one. It was a different
game.
Oh, my
game. Bad.
Sorry.
But no, it said at the beginning of the trailer that it's all built in gameplay.
You did say that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, if it is for the PlayStation Move, here's what I'm going to throw this out there that I bet you, I'm willing to put money on it, that game is you're going to hold a PlayStation Move control and stand around a bunch of other people and you're going to do a tribal dance to try and save the elements from washing you away, and it's going to be horrible. Horrible, but amazing looking.
I would agree.
I'm only saying that to have one of those for the record.
You got to look up Dust. Gosh, I wish I could. Let me just try on YouTube here real quick, because I remember seeing it. It's a science fiction.
We could pause.
Yeah, pause. And we're back. Here is Dust from the E3 trailer from 2001.
I'm glad that the other one's a working title, because
From Dust, they can change it. Yeah, we got to look up From Dust. I didn't see, it's by Ubisoft. Maybe if I watch their presentation. Oh, yeah. So this is pretty great.
This is with the Move?
I don't think so.
It's a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
So Dust 514 E3 2011 trailer is the name of the video in YouTube.
So there, it kind of looks Halo-esque. There are drops coming down from the skies. We're in a helicopter. There's a really decent-looking sniper gun action there. You're running through the... the field. Somebody
man
just got
down.
Pegged.
Man down. Oh, rocket launcher deafened you.
So he's running around. Yeah, this looks very Halo-y. They're trying to get across the bridge now, and there's these like sci-fi looking tanks firing rockets. There's these helicopters. Somebody just took one down.
They told us we had no chance. That we were fools to even try. But I'm a mercenary. I don't judge your ambitions. I only judge what you can afford.
Some sort of Matrix thing happening right now.
Pay my price, and I'll strike down the heavens. I've fought your war 1,000 times and won them all. And I know this is the moment that will change everything.
Is this the new Sly 4 guy?
On this day, the blood I spill will bring down an empire. Before your very eyes.
It's a little Mass Effect-ish.
They will remember us. And they'll remember what happened here.
Cool. It's a great voice, too. Gosh, that guy's good.
On this battlefield, one shot can change the course of history. And you're going to be the one that takes it.
It's like, takes it, I get shot?
Getting mixed messages here. Dust 514. Different from Dust with the PS Move. So that's a PS Move, yeah.
Wow, that's a cool first. I'm sorry if you were laughing at me, but they two guys with really, really cool voice.
I thought you were being funny.
No, I really liked it. Am I wrong?
No, I did too.
Like the tone of their voice is just really cool, really awesome.
I'm a killer.
I'm always jealous of that guy who's got like the Optimus Prime type voice. Yeah. Like, you know.
Oh,
like,
man, what I wouldn't give to be him.
I know, right?
So BioShock has got a sequel coming out called Infinite. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my gosh!
I've heard of it.
You need to see some of the trailers for this. I was seeing things that I
lost interest in BioShock 2, and I'm sure
just watch the trailer. It's he's in like somebody was like, you know, what would be greatest if we played a first person shooter on a roller coaster, and that's what you're doing. There are like these crazy whacked out roller coaster landscapes, and you have this like claw that you latch onto coaster tracks and fly around and shoot down blimps, all in this like kind of 1920s circus motif.
Really?
I couldn't even understand what I was looking at.
I need to figure out if I sold my Bioshock 2. Maybe I should finish that.
You should. Give it to me. Star Trek, the new Star Trek movie, has a first-person shooter coming out that is compatible with the PS
Move. The new Star Trek movie?
Yeah.
So the new one from 3 years ago?
No, the new one that's coming out next year.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. I saw something advertised for it or whatever, and I was like, wait, why did they stop making those movies? I thought they
did. They're taking their sweet time. The first one took years. So you can play as Spock or Kirk and do co-op mode and go around and blow stuff up. You know, stuff you could never do in original Star Trek. And then the Vita came out. And then, so like 40 minutes of the conference is all about the Vita. And we talked about it a little bit last week. It has two cameras. It's got a weird touch screen on the back side of it. And it's got an amazing looking front screen that's also a touch screen, a bunch of buttons all over it because consoles need buttons. And that's kind of what they need. And then I have something called this PlayStation Suite. Oh, yeah, it allows for online game playing. So, like Ruin, we talked about last week, has this really great action-based role-playing game. It's kind of like Diablo with a top-down view, and you can play against other people. But seriously, the worst part of it is the AT&T connection.
Yeah,
like
people,
having to
you
pay.
Said last time that they booed.
You got to pay. I don't know what they haven't released what the subscription rates are, but I can't imagine that being good news. Like, I have Verizon, right, and it's exclusive with the AT&T. So if I want this thing, now I have to have another bill come to me. And who knows what it'll be. Like, it's not going to be $15 a month. I'll tell you that right now. Is it going to be 40? Like, what am I going to have to pay to play this device against other people?
Yeah, it's not going to be cheap.
I don't think so. So I'll probably, if I get it, I'll just get the Wi-Fi unit. Or, you know, maybe I'll shake down Santa.
I don't think you're going to get the Vita, do you?
I don't know. I might.
Yeah. I don't think you should.
I might.
You're behind in your games, Brody.
I know, Brody.
And buddy.
All of us together. Well, I'm going to see it. Hopefully, I'll get a sneak into E3, and if I touch it, fall in love.
All right. Are we done with Sony? Because I think everybody else is like treating us like a CEO at the press conference and going, when are you going to get to this Sly 4 bullcrap?
Yeah. When are we going to get to it?
How about right now?
All right. Well, thanks for listening on behalf of my good buddy, Justin.
Yeah.
What never want to lift you up. Never want to let you down. So we're going to talk to...
We have to call this episode Sly 4 Really.
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 So we're going to talk to Jake P.
I haven't heard back from him.
Oh, he hasn't said anything?
Nope.
Let me see if he's on the tweet. On the Twizzler. On the Tweezlers. This is called vamping.
All right. Don't need to do that.
Great.
And we're back.
That was the best time ever.
Four,
oh,
right?
Man. So many awesome things. Just fireworks in the house.
Amazing. So we are on the phone with Jack right now because he had a question about Sly 4. Do you want to talk about it a little bit or do you want to just jump into Jack's question? What do you want to do?
Sure. Well, with Jack on the line, here's what everybody does or does not already know. And if you don't know, how do you not know? That they announced that Sly 4 is indeed happening and that it's coming out. They showed a little trailer, and then later in the day, GameSpot had some gameplay footage of the actual game.
Nice.
It looked pretty good. Looked pretty
good.
My
favorite part is, didn't need E3 to tell me that.
Right?
I got insider info.
Yeah, off air, all the time.
Like Entertainment Tonight.
That's right. As I told people on the Sucker Punch forums earlier today, if you pay attention to every third thing I say, this fifth word or something, you compile those all together, I give you the entire plot of Sly 4. But Jack, you have a question about the Sly 4 franchise before we talk more about Sly 4, and you have a question I think a lot of people have.
I was wondering...
Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
I was kind of wondering how Sucker Punch came to agree with, you know, kind of, you know, work with Sanzaru, since Sanzaru Games came to present a type of... Sorry, I'm not real good at this.
You're doing great, Jack.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
So I think your question is, why did Sucker Punch allow Sanzaru Games to make a Sly Cooper game?
Well, I guess I'm just wondering how the collaboration kind of started.
Oh, well, that's a good question. So one thing that...
it's probably because they were too busy with Infamous 2.
In part,
oh,
yes.
Really? Yeah, I was doing a bit.
No. In part. See, what's there's so many things that... that it gets really confusing as the consumers look at video game development, and we have these misconceptions sometimes that maybe they build these games in an isolated bubble and it's just like 20 guys in a garage and that's all they do. You got to understand with games, there are, especially now that it's a multi-million dollar industry, there are tons of people with fingers in all sorts of pots all over the place. So Sony has a unique relationship with Sucker Punch in that the and Sly, that since it's an exclusive game, Sony owns Sly Cooper, not Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch develops it. Sucker Punch are the people that write it, but Sony are the
Sucker
people
Punch
that own
created it.
Sucker Punch created it. But it'd be the same thing as if I drew Mickey Mouse and Disney bought it. Yeah. Disney owns
it's
Mickey
the same
Mouse.
Thing as what happens with just about every television show
exactly.
that you see on television, in that somebody has an idea,
yep.
they have a production company that says, we'll help you produce this idea, and then they pitch it to a network,
yeah.
and the network says, we will buy this idea. When the network says, we will buy this idea, then it's like, okay,
it's
great,
theirs.
Now you're going to make
it's
the show, the network owns it. Now, the network usually has what is called a pilot presentation, where you make the pilot, you show it to yep. them, and then they decide, nope, I don't want it anymore. That doesn't mean you could take that show to yeah. NBC and say, hey, are you guys interested in this? No, because ABC yep. owns it. You can't do anything
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. Now, then there are other rights with syndication and that kind of thing further down the line.
You.
But this is not television. So so that's exactly what happens is that Sucker Punch develops a game. They take it to Sony. Sony says, all right, we'll pay you to make this game, but we own it. Then Sucker Punch makes three phenomenal, fans love them games, and they say, we've done this three times. We'd like to make something else. And then they pitched other ideas. If you watch the behind the scenes of Infamous 2, they talk about True Hero was actually the game that they developed first, and then that evolved into the Infamous franchise. So while they were doing that, the Sony, it's called intellectual property, the Sly IP, intellectual property, is just part of the Sony family, and there are all sorts of developers that Sony works with. And Sanzura was one of many people that made a bid to say, we would like to make the next game. And they did a really good demo of the game. They put together some stuff. They showed me some of the things that they had mocked together. And they're huge fans of Sly. That was the other part of it, is that they love Sly Cooper as much as the fans, and Sony gave them the rights and said, yep, go ahead, make us Sly 4. And that's why we all get Sly 4 now.
That's awesome.
Well, does that answer your question, Jack?
Excuse me?
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome.
That was a lot, but I gotcha. My other question was when the initial decision to go ahead and make it was.
Oh, like how did that collaboration occurred? Happen?
Yeah, I don't know. When, like I said, I imagine people have wanted a Sly 4 since.
Well, you said that they said at E3 that they've gotten letters almost every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying, when are you going to make another Sly Cooper?
You know, and that's the thing. Like, there are.
The people at Sony, I mean.
Yeah, there's so many people working on these things, and there's so many different factors involved. I don't know why there wasn't a game built by another developer in 2006. Seems to me to be, I mean, I would have loved it. So yeah. I would, if I could have made a game, I would have.
Yeah.
But so I don't know why it took so long, or why Sanzura were the ones that got to do it. But I know, all I know is that they are very excited to make it happen.
Can you say, now that it's been released, can you tell us how long ago it was, at least as far as you know?
I don't. That's
you don't.
The thing. Like, from.
Well, how about, can you at least tell us when you got a call?
Last year.
Last year.
And I knew, and based on the stories that they told me, this is something that's been in the works a long time for them.
So like it's been 5 years. Am I right?
The last
or
game came out in 2005.
Okay. So 6 years.
Yeah.
And it's been in talks for a while. So I would imagine, since every game waited about 3 years, am I right? Or 2 years?
No, the first game, it was out in 02, and they've spent a few years developing that. The second game was 04, and then the third game was 05. They were banging them
out. So around 2 years. So let's guesstimate that we can speculate that maybe the talks started around 06, 07.
Yeah.
And that it's taken this long
it
to actually come to fruition.
I don't know. Maybe somebody from Sanzura will get on and talk to us about it. But yeah, I don't know how long they've been working on it. But I do know that games take a long time. I mean, this game was talked about at E3 today, this week in June of 2011, and it's not released until someday in 2012. And we didn't even get a release quarter. So who knows how long it's going to take them to develop it.
Yeah, they just give you a year.
They're
huh?
like, yeah, next, not now, yeah. essentially.
But when later, carrot on a stick.
When it's done. When it's done. It'll be at E3 in 2012.
All right, Jack, does that answer your other question? Do you have any others?
I have one more.
Yeah, hit it.
Infamous, Infamous has a lot of deaths. There's a lot to it, with the multiple storylines, all the different side missions and stuff, whereas Sly is a pretty straightforward plot arc game.
You know,
if maybe there's going to be a bit more depth to this new Sly game, or if it's going to stay pretty true to how it was the first three times.
Well, again, they're different developers, so they'll probably be, and we just saw this on the E3 coverage at GameSpot, where they're focusing on giving fans more of what they loved in the first three games. So, like today, I heard them say that people really enjoyed the boss battles.
From the first
Sly game. So the epic, like, three-tiered, three-part boss battles, they're just going to amp that up to 77.
Whoa.
It's going to be 7 times 7.
I hope we can handle it.
If we were Jewish, that'd be like a lot.
I don't get the reference, but I love it.
It's the Old Testament. So I think you can see from the gameplay and the images that we've seen so far that their focus is on more of what people really loved about the original series. And I think that it just stands to reason that the games will continue to build on themselves. You know, you see from Sly 1 to Sly 3, the characters and everybody evolved. I don't think it would be too much to imagine that sort of evolution of the franchise in general is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Jack?
We are the same person.
Not really. I noticed that in the gameplay video, Sly, he looks a lot more like he did in Sly 1, in my opinion, than he did the other two.
Yeah. Do you like
it? And then also, well, that was just an observation, but also, I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody from Sucker Punch was talking about how they missed Sly's eyes glowing all the time in the last two in the last two games that they had in the first one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it just felt like that, like they kind of glowed the same. I just put some similarities to the first one.
Yeah, and that might be kind of what they're going for, is like really getting back to the sneakiness of the game and that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting. I haven't seen a whole lot of what's out there. In fact, what we've seen so far is pretty much the extent of everything I've seen. So I'm on this ride along with everybody else, and I'm excited to see what kind of art direction and stuff they go for and go with the new franchise.
Good times.
Yeah.
Anything else, Jack?
That's about it. Thank you for letting me talk.
Of course.
No problem.
Where are you calling from?
I'm from Texas.
Awesome. What part of Texas? Central?
Yes.
Like Dallas, is that central or no?
No, I'm in Austin.
Austin is central.
Do you own a belt buckle?
No.
Okay.
Austin is very hipster.
I don't ride a horse to school, and I don't wear a 10-gallon hat or any of that.
No, I knew that. No, I know. We know some guys from Texas that love their belt buckles, so I don't know if it was universal.
Austin is definitely the hipster town.
There's a burgeoning independent film industry there.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Where? What do they have, a festival going on?
Stardust. Anyway.
All right, thanks for calling in, Jack, and feel free to call back anytime.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye. Good times. All right, so we have other questions that I know that have come
in. I had a whole bunch. There was a really great one that somebody was talking about on Facebook. I can't seem to find it.
I'm sorry.
Do we have other callers?
We have no other callers.
All right, then.
That takes care of that. I can do this to kill some time because I needed to do this, is that we talked about on two episodes ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about that Congress or somebody had deemed video games as art, which meant that they could be available for public funding and grants and things like that. And Matt, who you guys will probably recognize from the Facebook, he says, Fox had a debate about this and they got it all wrong. It's not for things like Call of Duty, Madden, or Call of Duty, Madden, Warfare. I like that.
I want to play that game.
Instead, boom, I shot you. Instead, it's for companies that make games like Super Meat Boy, Flower, Castle Crashers. I met the two guys that do all the work and they are incredibly humble. They are one of my favorite indie developers. And Outland. It helps the little man make creative games without making a financial hit. Taking a financial hit. It's an incredible idea. Finally, indie companies can make compelling games without worrying as much about their budget, is what we misunderstood that article. So thank you for that, Matt. Let's see, what else? Mila said, in one of the episodes, you said you should start speaking broken English for your Finnish fans, which made me both mad and amused. Mad-used, I guess. In fact, Finns are the fifth best English speakers, English as second language, in the world. It was funny, though. I feel like I read that before. Have I read that before?
Nope.
All right, good.
That was great.
Hope you're mad who's still. No. I think that's it.
That's great.
That's all I have.
So
unless you want to hear the lemonade bit from Portal 2, that's what I have here too.
Oh, that's pretty great.
I love it.
So when I when we finally found out officially that Sly 4 Thieves in Time, or it's just called Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, is officially announced, I posted on the Facebook wall. And then slowly, if you go back and read the feed, people began to discover that it was developed by Sanzura. Some people began to piece it together. Information that I feel had been sitting out in front of people for a very long time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was pretty clear. When Nate Fox says they are not working on more than one game at a time, and yet we see a clip for a game, I think you could put that together and see that Sanzura developed the collection. I think it was pretty obvious that that's what was going on. But that's just me. Somebody named Brock comes up onto the Facebook wall, and this is what he says. This is bullcrap. Sanzura Games should not make it, and Sucker Punch should. The story won't be the same because it has none of the original writers. Thanks, Sucker Punch, for showing me you have no pride in your work, no integrity, no loyalty to us hardcore fans of Sly. And Brock, I gotta say, I feel your pain. I don't think they did it to hurt your feelings, but... as we just mentioned before, Sucker Punch did not abandon you or Sly, and they certainly, I think that's kind of harsh words. I think that they definitely have integrity and pride in their work. So,
yeah. And it really was what we just talked about with Jack, and that it comes down to it wasn't their call. Like, admittedly, they were kind of saying, we also want to do this other thing.
You know
what I mean? Maybe that had an element to it. But I think that even, I don't know if it was on our show, or maybe you had said something, that I think Nate had said how much he loved the Sly Cooper series and how he was happy to see it be made, like, and be continued. Maybe there is an aspect, I think it's unfair for us to speak and speculate, but maybe there is an aspect of like, oh, good, it's still being made, but
of course,
by somebody else.
And these maybe folks worked on those games for years.
Yeah.
I mean, they went from being a small little company of about 8 guys to being one of the most recognized developers.
Like, take whatever it is you do. Like, for instance, what's his name who has to go pull a tree out of his backyard that we talked about?
Jack,
2 episodes ago. Yeah. Where, like, imagine you had to pull a tree out of your backyard even once a month. After a while, you're going to be like, I'm really good at pulling trees, and I like it because clearly I'm doing it all the time, but... If you said, hey, how about just pulling weeds?
Yeah.
Or what about we're going to have you pull a different kind of tree?
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, that sounds interesting. You know what I mean? Why not do that?
Well, and see, that's I'm guessing at this point, but I would imagine that if we work at Sucker Punch and we make amazing games like
Sly Cooper. We do not work at Sucker Punch?
No, we don't.
Oh.
And we make amazing games like the Sly Cooper games, and then we want to make something different, something else, Infamous. We have a choice in front of us. Now, we can split our resources and develop multiple games simultaneously, which a lot of developers do. But maybe, and again, this is 100% speculation, nobody's told me this, but maybe the decision is, well, if we focus all of our company's energy on one game, we are going to guarantee that we are giving that game 100% of our attention.
Exactly.
And it's going to turn out the best product we can. Whereas, Sucker Punch has enough power, has enough resources, and has enough interest that they probably could split themselves into separate teams and have a Sly Cooper team and an Infamous team, and then a third team if they wanted to make whatever. But they have made the decision to focus on one project at a time, and I think that that's exciting. I think it gives them the chance to churn out the very best product that they can.
I thought it was another interesting question. I was trying to find the email, but I remember it, is that they said that the games, you'll probably remember this, that the game developers and they THQ I think was one and Sucker Punch being another one, and there was a third one that made the games like Sly Cooper, Jack and Daxter, and Ratchet and Clank, and I think Crash Bandicoot as well were one of those.
Yeah.
Do you know who made those, or was it Naughty Dog?
I think so. Back when they were all one company, the folks that made Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Daxter used to be the same company, and then they split into Naughty Dog and...
But my point is that I think he had an interesting observation / question, which was, hey, remember they made these games, and then they started making games like Uncharted, and then Infamous, that were later, and he goes, and then they, so what I thought was an interesting observation in that, it's like they've said, okay, this is the year for our 8 to 10 year olds,
I would agree.
Now our 8 to 10 year old fans are 14.
Yeah.
Let's make something for them now.
Oh, I wonder if that's, If they, that's a good point. That
I'm
the
so
same,
sorry, I'm not giving you credit. I'm going to try and find it while we're talking.
Because I would imagine, I always thought it was because the industry grew up, not necessarily that the individual fans themselves. Because if you remember, in the early 2000s, we're still kind of on the end of the Mario being the game that everybody had to make. And then a little game called Grand Theft Auto came out, and that changed everything. Suddenly, it turns out you can make a game for adults, and they will play it. And I think at that point is when the developers kind of realized, oh, we can do deeper content, more work, and that kind of thing. And again, I hark back to what I saw for Infamous 2. Their original concept for True Hero was cartoony, as cartoony as Sly was. And somewhere in their development, they took it up to a more superhero, more refined universe where they drop four.
Yeah, I thought
words.
That was interesting to see, like, almost Incredibles type or Mighty Mug type animation for a game like Infamous that turned out to be not. I'm not trying to say this as a bad thing, but just came out so dark.
Well, and very urban in Infamous 1. There's a marijuana hospital and that kind of thing, or what are those called? Depositories. Repositories?
Oh, you're right. Suppositories. I like that idea.
Do you? Really?
Nope.
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Oh, I'm so angry. I'm so sorry, buddy, that I didn't remember your name. And we have so many emails coming in now that they're announcing Sly 4 or have announced it at E3 that it's hard to find them because we have
Sly
Twitter
Cooper.
Messages and
Thieves in Time.
All that stuff.
So my advice to all the censure people who are, or the people who are... sketchy on the sensor. I've met many of the developers. They're wonderful people. They love Sly Cooper. I've seen a lot of the stuff you guys have seen, and I have a lot of faith in them. And I think it's okay to feel the little bit of shock and surprise that that it's not going to be Sucker Punch if you're still kind of getting into that or getting used to that idea that Sucker Punch isn't going to develop the next Sly game. But my advice is to just reserve the hate for a little while. Wait for a few more scenes. Because, sure, all of your thoughts may become true. Maybe the game will suck, the writing won't be as deep, the animation won't be as fantastic, but give them a chance.
Yeah.
Let's give them a chance before.
Because what
we
you're saying,
on.
What I thought was interesting, and I think it's the thing that needs to be heard by the real big fans of Sly Cooper, is that the people that are making this are also huge fans of Sly Cooper.
Huge fans.
And let's not forget that it's not about, like, what, and I think that's a point that not everybody understands, is that it wasn't a thing where, like, Sucker Punch is going, screw this game. We've got bigger fish
not
to
at
fry.
All. Not at
or
all.
It's not a thing where Sony is going, no, you're not making this game. You know what I mean?
No.
It's just aspects and politics
because
within the business and the industry that aren't known to everyone.
Exactly. And there are so many, what I was saying
before.
It could
also be that Sanzuro, am I saying it right?
Yeah, I think so.
Sanzuro comes in and just says, listen, we are unbelievably passionate about this series. We understand that Infamous is a priority for the Sucker Punch. And you have the intellectual property of Sly Cooper. Here's what we want to try to do with it.
Yeah.
We would just give us a shot. Let us do this. This is what we love and what we want to do.
Absolutely.
And then Sony's like, sure. And then they come in and they're like, oh, look at what you did. We love it. You know,
brilliant.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And maybe to the fans, it is like a sequel to a Star Wars movie where it's like, even though same people are kind of involved, you know what I mean? That it's like, it's all right.
And the other thing that I think we all need to keep in perspective is that these decisions are not made on quick whims. Like, we as the consumers get to see these and make snap decisions. Do not mistake that that developments that happen within video games, there's a reason they take years. There are so many people involved with this. There are PR department. There are marketing research people. There are bankers and accountants that if you think that a game won't succeed or fly, you can maybe have that discussion for 5 minutes or something. I guarantee there have been very well-paid people spending hours upon days upon weeks upon months possibly discussing the financial outcome of a game before it's even developed, before it even goes anywhere. These people have spent countless hours debating whether or not a game is worth making. So before we all make a decision and say that game is going to suck, let's trust the giant operating system behind the scenes of the hundreds of people that are developing the material.
Because it is unfair to Sanzuru, because like what you're saying, they're not coming at it. It's not like Sony saying we need to find somebody to develop this property so we can make more money out of our customers.
That's not
what's happening. Which would be a situation where we'd be like, you know what, I'm not interested in that. Screw you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if they're coming coming at it from a standpoint, we like the series. We're very passionate about the series. Yeah. We like what it's doing for a contemporary platforming game. It's one of the few that are as popular as it is that are out there, other than maybe a Mario Brothers, which I don't even know could be still called platform games, but...
Everything game? Yeah. I have a Mario Brothers suit I just wear on Thursdays.
Exactly.
Walk around town punching bricks.
So I do. I agree with you wholeheartedly that I think that it would be unfair to just throw our arms up in the air and be like, oh, come on. You know what I mean? Without even really seeing anything but a 5-minute YouTube video.
Exactly.
It's very unfair.
And so my last piece of advice to anybody that's feeling doubtful or got some hate they want to throw down is... be happy. There's another Sly game coming. Either way, it's Christmas.
And guess what? If you don't buy it, there's never going to be another one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to. I'm not turning into a terrorist.
Sure.
I'm not holding your wallet hostage. But I'm just saying that if you decide to go, no, then it's like this passionate Sanzuru people that came in and are like, we want to keep the series going. Then you, as a consumer, decide. Okay, I want to say that I want the series to keep going. And they already said in that video that we saw on GameSpot in the interview where they said that we thought that what we liked about Sly Cooper and what we thought people liked about Sly Cooper were these epic boss battles from the first game. So we wanted to recreate that aspect. So a lot of game developers take what is the overall, opinion or polls, for lack of a better term, on message boards and say, let's incorporate this. Let's see what we can do to make this better. So the more that we can lose our nerd rage a little bit and not try to be so quick to judge and quick to jump up everybody's bung, is that we can just say, hey, well, let's check it out.
Let's
keep an open mind. Let's say, hey, let's see what they bring to the table because the characters are all there.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So why not? Why not get on board? Plus, it's got the Kevin Miller, who I'm a big fan
of. And, by the way, I didn't say this already, that George W. Bush is confirmed as a member of the cast, which is pretty fantastic.
Awesome.
No, I made that up.
Nolan North is. I can say that now.
Yeah,
Nolan North is in the game. Nolan North is in the game.
And I think Tyler gave me credit for that. I had nothing to do with that. Although, when I found out, I also pretty geeked out pretty
hard. About Nolan North
being
in there?
Nolan North being in.
He told us.
I found out prior to that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the thing. I found the email, and he doesn't put his name. Or her, she doesn't put her name, it's just Goodell Jr. or whatever. But there's a question,
God,
just so I don't
that.
Mess it up. It says, I have a question for really anyone. Have you guys noticed how Sucker Punch, Naughty Dog, and Insomniac all adhere to the same demographics in their games? I'm not saying all their games are the same, but when they make a new and original title, it's nearly in the same in demographic. Here's what I mean. The first three games made were for a younger audience. Rocket Robot, On Wheels, Crash Bandicoot, and Spyro. Then they all moved to platformers for an audience a bit older, Sly Cooper, Jak and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank. Then they moved to a mature audience, taking TM-rated games, Infamous, Uncharted, and Resistance. That was the one I was trying to think of. Have you guys noticed this as well? Clearly we have not. And if so, then why? Thanks in advance. You guys are possibly the best damn podcast out there. Keep up the great work.
We've got to investigate that a little more. I wonder, is the cart driving the horse or the other way around?
I find it hard to believe that there's that much of a coincidence in it to not think it's on purpose.
Well, I want to know. I want to find out more. I want to know more. I know the relationship between those two developers. I don't know what Sucker Punch's relationship is with those two developers. And I don't know if it... because they're not all Sony exclusives either.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to find out.
They're not?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Resistance isn't Sony exclusive?
Have I been wrong before?
Yes.
Is Naughty Dog not Sony exclusive?
No, Naughty Dog is.
Oh. Well,
Uncharted is... Uncharted... No, unless you're Jak and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank, all of those are Sony exclusive.
Jak and Daxter isn't ported over to other games?
Nope. It's not on another system.
Then they're all Sony. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
All right. That was easy.
Did we find it out?
Nope. But I'm saying now we have a mission.
Jump and press the circle button.
We are going to do that.
What happens when you jump and press the circle button today, Justin?
We end the show?
Jump and press the circle button.
So I think we answered the majority of the questions,
I think so.
Right? As far as
and people want goes. Somebody asked for spoilers. Can't give them to you.
Yeah.
People ask for my autograph. It's $20. I did have somebody ask for an autograph and a recorded message for their birthday party. You can play that.
Oh.
And I did all that stuff and it said, here's the address, send us the thing, I'll sign it for your kid's birthday. They never mailed it.
Unless, oh, really?
Have you been to the P.O. box?
Mm.
When was the last time you went to the P.O. box?
When was the last time you needed me to go?
When was the last time
you've been to the P.O. box?
There was a time when you said, hey, I'm going to have somebody send something.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was at least 3 weeks after that that I went.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I haven't
yeah,
seen
yeah.
any.
That's what they never email back or anything. Yeah.
It, heads up, if you send us something to the P.O. box, it is a thing that I have to go to pick
that's
up.
That's how P.O. boxes work.
Well, but most people don't know that, is what I think.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Really?
No. I thought there was maybe a button I could press that would forward it to my mailbox or
no,
something.
It's a P.O. box.
But anyway, so yeah, just give us an email saying, hey, I mailed you something. It should arrive around here, and I'll go pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. Show at Second Funniest Podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Yep. I have a blog. I'm hiding it from you. First person to find it gets a prize.
What's is the prize your autograph and an outgoing message? Yeah,
exactly. That's it.
GameStopThinkGeek.com. Go to SecondFunniestPodcast.com and help our sponsors because that helps us. On behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.